When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. This is Speaking Dinner and a Movie, hashtag Dinner and a Movie. I'm Jay Black. I'm joined here by my lovely wife, Christina. Christina, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Let's get our voice into the microphone, honey.
Can you hear me now?
How about, like, you just hold like this and talk like that?
I'm talking.
Yes. All right. I'm going to turn your level up just a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. But we are here at, I'm going to try to get this right. Casa Gennaro.
Genaro.
Am I saying it correctly?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first of what we hope to be many, many podcasts where we're going to force each other to watch a movie. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to discuss it over dinner here at Casa Gennaro. Now, I'm going to give this out at the beginning. I'm going to give this out at the end. And I'm going to tell you something right now. We've eaten one piece of calamari.
Oh, my God.
And it's already the best food I've had in a month.
Best calamari I've ever had.
I mean, it might be the best food I've ever had. This is a very exclusive place. The fact that they let me in is surprising. But Casa Gennaro, you can come to 4585 Route 27, Kingston, New Jersey, 08528, or call 609-683-1212. If you are in the New Jersey area and you're looking to cater, if you're looking for a good meal, they're open only Thursday, Friday, Saturday for
dinner.
But
they have an attached market, which is open Monday through Friday.
Right. And they do catering whenever you want to pay them to come out. Now, I'm about to eat more calamari.
Oh.
Am I supposed to say it like this? Calamari.
Calamari.
By the way, how slick and like cool was Gennaro?
Super cool.
Yeah, he's the guy who owns this place, and he basically looks like an Italian movie star.
And he speaks like an Italian movie star?
Right, who has come to America to like escape the fame of Italy. And now he just wants to own a restaurant here in America.
He wants to own a place, and he wants to feed you good food.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to try not to like chew loudly into the microphone.
I know, I was just thinking of that. So, down to the movies.
Yes. Let's talk the movies. Hold on. Let me do one more. What is this here? Is this like a mozzarella stick?
Yes. It's like a fancy mozzarella stick. We have pictures that we'll be attaching.
Yeah. We'll put that into the podcast. Mm-hmm. We'll show you the pictures of all the food. Now, normally, I would say people who Instagram their food are the devil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this is necessary for you to understand how good this place is.
I think this food is Instagrammable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Try the mozzarella stick.
I will, baby.
That's like when you know that the cheese was not sitting there for a month and a half. When it was actually made. I'm pretty sure there was a goat somewhere in the back that they used to make this
I'm
fresh goat's
sure.
milk.
I'm pretty sure. Here comes Gennaro.
So here comes Gennaro.
Hello.
Gennaro, we've started the podcast and we've already, I'm going to tell you, we've already said that this is not just the best Italian food that we've had. This is the best food we've had in a month.
Oh my gosh. We had one bite of calamari, and we were like, what?
Keep on talking. I love it.
Well, if you listen to the podcast, we're going to be doing a lot of complimenting, because we love Italian food. And by the way, we were saying, too.
We close at 9, so we have time.
We close at 9? we might be here till then, actually. We were saying, Gennaro, you look like an Italian movie star that came here.
Sound
to,
like one?
To escape the paparazzi. You're like, it's too much. I'm going to come to America and just be the owner of a restaurant. I can't be in movies anymore.
Well, no, I think that we're going to close at 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
Way with words, and I love it.
Well, this food is 10 times better than the movie you asked
me
to watch.
Jenner, do you want to sit down and tell us a little bit about the place?
Sure, I'd love to.
So, before we get started in the movies, let's talk to Gennaro.
And, you gave the address.
You gave the address, I gave the phone number. Gennaro, you're telling us a bit about the story. You came here, you were a concierge.
I was a concierge in Italy, and before I came to this country, I was a concierge in Venice.
Right, right. And you speak like 74 languages.
72. I'm working on the other two.
How many do you speak?
I speak German, I speak Spanish, speak a little bit of English, and French.
French too?
Wow.
Are you a spy? You can be honest if you're a spy.
No speaking English.
Yeah, you might be working here on behalf of the Italian government. We haven't quite figured that out yet. Because,
well, I have a mission. I have to see what can I come across with food.
So. Yeah, well, it's working.
It's
doing
a good
great
mission.
Job. Every once in a while, I just make sure we're still recording. So you came here 23, and I overheard this. I don't think you told me this directly. You met your wife while she was vacationing in Italy.
I met my wife while she was vacationing. She was with a Perigolo tour. She was a chaperone with a Perigolo tour. So she was watching students, but nobody was watching her.
Right. And you were right on her.
Yes. So she came in at, she stopped in the hotel I used to work in Venice, and that's how we met.
That's a movie I want to see.
Yeah.
Is right up my alley.
I just watched a dumb romantic movie that takes place in Ireland, and I'm going to be yelling at my wife shortly about how dumb the choice was. But that's magical. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she was coming back to Utica going, I just met the most amazing guy in Italy.
Yeah.
Well, she told me she was from New York. I had no idea there was a state called New York, so my ignorance was not very good in geography, as you can imagine. So when I arrived here the first time, we took a train home, so she said. And the train kept on going, so after 2 hours, I asked, how big is the city? She goes, no, it's the state. I said, what do you mean, state?
Yeah.
I thought it was city, New York, the Statue of Liberty, Italy. Where is all that stuff? And then we arrived in Utica.
Yeah,
and,
Utica,
New York, yes.
When you come from Venice and you're expecting to go to New York City,
right.
And you get Utica.
Yes. Yeah. So, there's a mixed emotions. Because some people say, oh, this is a great place to raise a family. And I guess so. Well, because I came from a city that was chaotic and everything, at night I could not sleep because it was too quiet. So I had to put the TV on.
Wow.
In order for me to go to sleep.
Right.
And that's the truth, So then I got used to it. So I did not drink and I did not ski. So I had nothing to do in Utica.
I learned
how to ski out of desperation. And I had a couple of drinks here and there.
Okay. Right, I'm sure. More than a couple.
Yeah.
Well, it's we're glad that you made your way down here.
Mm-hmm.
I say America
because
I don't necessarily count Utica as part of the country.
It's a beautiful place. We have a lot of friends over there. Every once in a while, it's nice to go to Utica.
Right.
But the best part is to leave and come back.
I believe that's the town slogan. Welcome to Utica. You're going to love leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And you are you're here in Kingston, New Jersey.
Kingston, New Jersey. Yes.
And this is a passion project of yours. This is Casa Gennaro.
Casa Gennaro. Yes. Well, I have an Italian market in Kingston, and I decided to relocate the restaurant I had in Princeton for a little over 18 years, called Gennaro's, on Route 206. And so the house next to the market became available, and I was able to connect the house. For a series of circumstances, I wasn't really planning on having a restaurant here, but then it became a natural fit.
Sure.
My mother was visiting from Italy and says, Gennaro, mamma, you have to call this casa. So Casa Gennaro was born because my mother said so.
There you go. Yeah,
she's always right.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to listen
to her. Italian mothers are always right.
You know what I love about it is that we came in and it really did feel like we were coming over to our cool friend's house who's going to service a great meal. Like, it really does feel like a family atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the restaurant was officially open on December 6th, and that is the same day that my granddaughter was born.
Ah.
So my granddaughter was born 3 weeks early, so it was just by chance that she was born on the same day we received our CO.
Ah.
It was actually the temporary CO, so that we could open. And so she told me, I have to be here too.
I have to be here for the opening.
So Ray Ann was born on December 6th at the same day we open up Casa Gennaro officially to the public.
Beautiful. That is beautiful.
So Casa Gennaro is only open for dinner on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We keep that only exclusive 3 nights a week. We only have 11 tables in the whole restaurant, and it has to be fun.
Yeah.
I've been in this business for a long time, so I want to be able to have fun so that my friends my family comes in, my extended family comes in, they have a good time, they enjoy, and we're able to be ready for them because we are enjoying more than our customers.
Right. Yes, I love that.
We're enjoying it so far.
We are enjoying it. In fact,
very much so.
What I think we should do, honey, is, and I know we haven't talked about all of the technicals, I think we should pause the podcast, eat, come back, talk about the food we just ate, and get into the movies. How's that sound?
That sounds good, because I can't keep looking at this food and not putting it in my mouth.
And don't forget the, oh my God.
Yeah, oh my God. There'll be plenty of those.
Gennaro, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to have you on. I mean, your voice is like, there's so many things.
It's like silk.
Yeah, it's very frustrating to having this nasally voice.
Mm-hmm,
to have the guy, like the suave Italian guy who speaks 16 languages, sitting down going, and I also have a beautiful radio voice. Yeah, it's just it's very upsetting to me.
Well, the reason why I go back to Italy every so often is because I lose my accent.
Oh, smart.
And it's part of the charisma.
So. Smart.
Yes, you got to keep that.
Well, Christine and Jay, enjoy your dinner.
I can't wait.
Thank you.
And by the way, if you want to enjoy the dinner, you come on out to Casa Gennaro. And we can't talk enough about how great this food is. This is fantastic. Thank you, Gennaro.
Get ready to lose your mind.
Guess who I saw walking out of the store carrying that little red bag?
Oh, my God.
So this is for you.
Okay, hold on. We got to work on your surprise face. Ask me.
Will you marry me?
Bigger eyes?
Honey?
The good news is you have time to practice between now and then.
They're earrings.
Yeah. A little something to keep your ears warm while I'm in Dublin.
It is leap year, you know. In Ireland, a woman can propose to a man on the 29th of February.
Dad, I'm not going to Dublin.
And welcome back. We are done the appetizer phase.
We are very happy.
I gotta tell you something. Over the course of our life together, honey, mm-hmm. you've forgiven me many transgressions. You've treated me well. You've given many favors to me. You've given me three beautiful children, but none of them compare to when you gave me the last piece of calamari.
that was very sweet.
That was, I sometimes I wonder, how could this woman still love me? Mm-hmm. And then you do something like that, when you just hand me mm-hmm. the last calamari, and mm-hmm. I go, it is meant to be.
It is, because that was sacrifice. Because that calamari was amazing.
It was delicious, yes. Now, speaking of things that were not meant to be.
Oh, Jay. We're on to the movie portion?
Yes, we're on to the movie portion. Mm-hmm. The first movie up that we're going to discuss is a movie that my wife made me watch called Leap Day. It stars
Leap Year.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. It stars Amy Adams and some other people. There's a good-looking Irish guy. There's Adam Scott. Is in it. There's, what's his name? Who am I thinking of? Tall guy was in Third Rock from the Sun.
John Lithgow.
John Lithgow's in it. Were you about to say John Krasinski?
Yes.
From The Office?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he played Amy Adams' father. Now, I'm going to say there's, it's, if you don't know the movie, you should not watch it. I'll tell you what you need to know. This woman hears about a tradition where if you can ask a man to marry you on Leap Day in Ireland. So she was expecting that Adam Scott was going to ask her to marry him. And
she wanted to lock down that lawyer.
Right.
Not lawyer, doctor.
Cardiologist.
Yes. It's a doctor.
So she gives, but when they go out to dinner mm-hmm. at the very fancy place, he only gives her like $100,000 diamond earrings. And of course, being a woman, she's very upset about mm-hmm. this. She's like, I don't want $100,000 earrings. Mm-hmm. I want to lock down the golden goose. I want you to keep shooting out those eggs.
It's like you've memorized the dialogue.
And he doesn't ask her. So she's very upset about this. And she thinks to herself, you know what? I'm going to look up on the internet about this thing. And it's a real thing. Now, here's what I think the movie forgets. We don't live in the 18th century. Like, she could ask him anytime. Like, it doesn't have to be on Leap Day. Like, it's not like there's a law against asking men to marry you anymore. I mean, we do live in the 21st century. This movie is presumably set in the present. And so she's like, I gotta get it.
You are asking, you are mad when things just don't flow, when you want me to suspend my disbelief. But the movie that you show me, you ask me to suspend my disbelief.
We're gonna get to my movie.
Okay, I'm just saying.
After the main course, we'll come back and we'll talk about my movie.
Okay.
But in the meantime, let's talk about your stupid movie.
You know what's bothering me about the podcast is that there's no equivalent to eye rolling that I can do.
Right. You should just put the irony in your voice. And people
I have to learn how to do that.
Well, okay. So a couple of things I want to say. All right, let's finish with the plot. She can't get to Dublin fast enough because like there's weather, and then she takes a boat, but she has to land in Dingle, where she meets Declan.
Hello, Declan.
Declan, good-looking Irish guy.
Yes.
And by means of all sorts of contrivance, he's the only one who can get her to Dublin. So they're going to be forced to spend 2 days. By the way, this is important for later on. 2 days in a car together to get to Dublin so that she could ask her boyfriend to marry her. Because apparently in America, it's illegal for a woman to ask unless it's on leap day in Ireland. I mean, just from the beginning, this is why my screenwriting career has not taken off the way it should have. Because if Brian would suggest this to me, and I would flip over the table and punch him repeatedly in the face for that kind of stupidity. Anyhow, here's my main criticism about this movie.
There's just one.
This is my main criticism.
Okay.
You would get mad at me if I was watching pornography, right? Like if you walked in and I was watching hardcore porn, you'd be like, ew, turn that off, gross.
Yes.
But this is pornography for you.
How is this pornography for me?
Because it's a good-looking Irish guy.
Yes, check.
And that's it.
That's it.
And she's an American, and she is forced to be with him. And, you know, they have to drive around, they see a castle, they walk up a castle, so it's basically just, like, Irish, like a good-looking Irish dude in good-looking Irish sweaters.
Oh, the sweaters are great, weren't they?
Looking around at castles, which is just basically your pornography. You respond to that the same way I respond to pornography. So I'm just saying, it strikes me as, why is it okay for you to watch this and not me? Like, it'd be like if my choice of movie was Backdoor Sluts 7. Like, by the way, this means a lot to me. Check this out. You'd have to sit and watch that entire thing.
You're really equating this.
Yes. Because there's no other redeeming qualities to it. It's just all pressing pleasure buttons in your American brain. Your Nora Roberts reading brain just gets...
Is it?
It's like when a monkey is allowed to have heroin pellets and he just keeps pressing the thing until he dies. Tell me I'm wrong.
So I'm a monkey now that presses...
A heroin pellet dispenser.
Okay, I just watch chick flicks till I die.
And you did, well, I mean, this particular chick flick, I've seen chick flicks that I've liked that have some substance to it, but this ain't one, baby girl.
The movies you like.
What's that?
The movies that you like hit pleasure buttons of your own.
More complicated pleasure buttons.
Oh.
It's the difference between eating straight sugar and eating a coconut shrimp like we just had at the appetizer.
Oh, that coconut shrimp was pretty
right.
amazing.
Right, and you could have just had a handful of sugar, which is the equivalent of your movie, but no, we want something with a little bit of deliciousness.
So there was nothing redeeming, nothing you enjoyed, no moment that you laughed or...
Well, honey, as a writer of romantic comedies, one thing I can tell you is I really enjoyed how they made Adam Scott not write for her without making him a total douche.
Okay.
Because a lot of times these movies just like, they have him like, you know, I was expecting him to be with another woman in Dublin. Like that would be how they would handle it one way. Or I was expecting him to secretly like be a jerk. But like every time he called her, or she called him, he was like, oh my God, I can't wait for you to come. And I'm like, well, you know, you're out futzing around with Mr. Declan and this guy is very excited for you. He asked her to marry him just to get the apartment. They were trying to get, spoiler alert for a 10-year-old movie that you shouldn't watch. So that was the main issue, was that he only proposed to her. His proposal was, sure, why not? And I'm going to need to tell you something, ladies, if you're listening. 97% of all proposals begin with a man going, yeah, why not? The other 3%, woman's pregnant. That's it. Those are the only two reasons.
And what category were you in?
We were in a... moving on. But no, because guys don't look at it the same way. It's not like a magical moment that we've waited our whole life for. Oh, here's Ben, the chef, who made all the wonderful food that we've just been talking about. Ben,
yes.
You are amazing. This is fantastic. Most times when you put like food in a martini glass, it's not worthy of the martini glass.
That was worthy of the
yes.
martini glass.
I don't think a martini's worthy of those coconut shrimp.
There you go. Martini has to find a new glass now.
Yeah, martini has to get, can't hang out with Rossi anymore. Martini and Rossi.
Nope, sorry.
This is a very popular podcast, Ben. With jokes like that, how could it not be?
You have some food in your teeth that's driving me crazy.
Oh, yeah? Driving you crazy?
Yeah. Is it that leftover calamari?
I'll fix it after the podcast is done. Okay, a couple of issues that I had with it. You explain these to me.
Okay.
Number one, Declan's beard. It was not very good. It was like a very scruffy Irish beard. It didn't connect. As a beard aficionado, does not bother you?
I love me a good beard.
Right. This guy did not have a good beard.
I think an accent does a lot to cover certain flaws.
So give me on the scale of, okay, like, take a regular dude.
Mm-hmm.
Not like me, because I'm symmetrical and perfect and funny, and you know, I'm a lady killer. I'm talking about a regular dude. Take a regular dude.
Okay.
What would take you more? Beard, accent. What do you go with?
Accent.
Really?
Yes.
So I should start taking elocution lessons.
You should.
Here, I can talk Irish. Top of the morning to you. Done. Perfect.
Wow.
Spot on. Yeah, I'm worried that Janar is going to come back and go, wait, you didn't say you were from Ireland. So,
why are you two making out during your podcast?
Oh, speaking of making out.
Yes.
There's a scene midway through the movie.
I'm with you on that scene.
All right, so midway through the movie, in order to stay at this bed and breakfast. I might be having a stroke.
You might be, but you just had bread for the first time in forever.
Yeah, because I'm on my abs diet, mm-hmm, and I'm tasting that bread. It might have gone back to my food. How did Dad die, Mommy? Doing what he loved, eating carbohydrates.
On a podcast.
Talking about opinions that he has in his brain about movies.
While eating bread. The kids would be like, I get it.
Yeah, no, Dad died doing what he loved.
Yeah.
So they stay at a bed and breakfast. And in order to stay there, the woman is like an old Irish woman, and she's like, I can't let you here unless you're married. And they're like, oh, we're married. And they do that very funny where they both say it at the same time. We're Mrs. O'Callaghan, Brady. Ha, 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 ha. So they're Mr. and Mrs. Brady O'Callaghan. And they're at dinner. And the owner of the inn kisses his wife. And then the Italian couple that's staying there, they go, oh, you got to kiss like it's the first time and the last time. And they kiss. And they're like, how about you two kiss? Now, I get it. As a screenwriter, I get, like, okay, you need to have a reason why they're going to kiss that isn't, like, gross.
Or her betraying.
Right. So this is a contrived moment, mm-hmm, where they have to do this to keep up the ruse of staying in a bed and breakfast because the stakes are so high.
It was raining, I believe.
Right. So they go, no, we kissed already. And the guy goes, come on, kiss her. And then he's like, all right. And they do a little peck. He's like, no,
kiss her
like you mean it. Now, at this point.
Yes.
I get that they're probably sitting there like, we need to make them kiss. How do we make them kiss? Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? We'll have the old couple say, when we do a kissing thing, you got to kiss them. To have them say it three times. If we were at a dinner party and you know, let's say your cousin Michelle and Brian just got engaged and they get married and they're over. And I'm like, Michelle, Brian, why don't you guys kiss? And they do a little kiss. And I go, no. You tongue her. I want to see tongue and I want to, mm-hmm, see heavy petting. Right now, go. You would ask me rightfully to go
what
back
is wrong with
to
you?
Go back to the mental hospital.
Yes,
right. I mean, then you'd immediately be like, "Okay, Jay, you're falling off the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Things are bad."
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, PG-13 movie from a studio system. Right. I don't understand how someone goes and says this. Oh, perfect. Yeah, have the creepy old guy force them to kiss
because it was an old guy. They get away with a lot, and it was before me too.
Oh yeah, hashtag me too. Mm-hmm. When, and I believe that's another Irish tradition. If a creepy old guy tells you you kiss, you have to
yeah,
do a second base immediately.
It is leap year.
Yeah, it's a leap year. So they kiss, and then the next day, they're trying desperately to get to Dublin, and they have no means of getting there, but so they wind up at a wedding, right? So now Amy Adams up to this point has been like, go. Got to get to Dublin because it's illegal, you know, to ask a man to marry you here in America because if we're in Victorian times.
Moving on.
But in Ireland, I can do it. So they on their way, but they stop at a wedding. They get in there accidentally, right? So they just stay for the whole goddamn wedding. And Amy Adams gets drunk and hits the bride with her shoe because they're spinning around during the Irish dance. Then they go out and sit by moonlight and they almost kiss. It's very romantic. I get it. You're out in moonlight in Ireland. You're with Declan with his crappy beard and his nice accent and his good sweater. I get it. By the way, did you find this guy super attractive?
I did.
Because he, listen, I like it. I like attractive men. You know this about me.
Yes, I do.
I understand. I'm not one of those guys that goes, oh, no, I could
no,
never.
No, you can admit it, yeah.
I can admit. This guy, not that attractive.
You found him attractive.
No, very scruffy. He's a scruffy guy.
If he shaved?
I mean, even with you shaving, he had like a craggy face. I mean, I would say Adam Scott, much more attractive than that guy.
I'd have to see him on mute, honestly, to give a good.
Because the accent.
Scale. Yeah, it throws me.
Would you say an accent is my equivalent to those boobs?
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, if, like, a big old pair of boobs, mm-hmm. I'm not really thinking about much else.
Mm-mm.
All right.
They get in your face and you're like, okay.
It makes a lot of sense to me. But you can't do this to an accent. As much as you try.
I got nothing.
Is that what the brogue means? Or you go, brogue?
Maybe I'll test out your theory.
Yeah. Later on tonight. Okay. They go to the wedding. They almost kiss at moonlight. And they're about to. And blah, she throws up. Okay. And again, I feel like when, like comedies for women, like it's always just about the woman getting embarrassed. Like that's what you're supposed to laugh at. Like it's like, oh my God, could I imagine if I was about to kiss a good-looking Irish guy and I threw up on him? I'd be so embarrassed.
I love that you think there's that much thought that goes into it.
I don't think there's thought. I think that it's just like this is what women respond to, like embarrassing situations. And I'll tell you what, if Amy Adams had puke breath, I'd probably still hook up with her.
Yeah, she's adorable.
Yeah, she's adorable. You just go, you know what? Throw a man in her. Yeah, she's fine. Next day, they get to Dublin, and Adam Scott proposes, and Amy Adams accepts, and Declan...
Door shuts, and Declan's gone.
Declan's gone. He's very upset, of course, because he's known this girl for 2 days, and he has felt a spark with her that is an overwhelming urge to blah, blah, blah. So they go back to New York. He goes back to Ireland, saves this pub, and gets, I should say, a clotter ring back from his former fiance. And I do need to bring this up. Do you remember the clotter ring that I got you when we first started dating?
Okay, you know, I should have thought of that. Here's some food coming.
Oh, yeah. More food is coming. What do we got coming up here, Gennaro?
This is Linguini Nero. Linguini Black.
Linguini Black. That's actually... I was going to name my first son Linguini, so he would have been Linguini.
It's an eggplant rotini with sautéed spinach. Now, Christine, do you like a little bit of pasta on the side? A little Linguini, maybe?
Sure.
Yeah.
Or penne, what do you prefer? Gnocchi, Linguini.
Linguini's great.
Linguini. Coming up.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, this eggplant looks amazing.
All right, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a quick pause here.
You can't even wait when
you see
it.
No, we got to eat while it's warm. We can't do...
I know.
And we'll come back. I'll finish giving my thoughts on leap year, and then you can tell me about... Pulp Fiction. One of them was a forgettable Amy Adams comedy with 23% on Rotten Tomatoes, and the other was a seminal moment in film where everything changed for the better. So, of course, you think Leap Year is better. We'll be back right after this.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother.
You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
What do they call it?
Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
And we are back.
Honey, I have a confession. I have no idea we're talking about anymore.
Oh, really?
I am in a very, very happy Italian food.
So, what was yours? I had the Linguini Nero, which is Linguini Black.
Which you like, because right. you are very obsessed with yourself.
Because Bill has... if you listen to Bill in the morning, if you listen to this, you most likely do. Bill always talks about he has his own... dish here.
Oh, so you want your own dish.
Well, he has the veal spadia, mm-hmm. which is the veal that's cooked mm-hmm. in the way that spadia likes. This is Linguini Black. It's like, check it out. Okay, look at your linguine.
Yes.
Linguini regular. Mm-hmm. Now look at my badass linguine.
So wait, let's get back to this. You think they're going to name this after you.
It's already named after me. It's Linguini Black. I mean, it's in Italian, but, you know, people know. People are going
to
know.
But prior to this, it was not. Prior to Bill eating the veal, it was a veal, and now it's Bill.
Right. It's the veal spadia. And now this is Linguini, but it's Linguini Black. It's the cool Linguini.
Okay.
It's like when Linguini like is tired of being a kid and like starts wearing like goth t-shirts mm-hmm. and bought at what's the place?
Hot Topic.
And starts wearing goth lipstick and starts listening to The Cure and it's like badass and cool. That's the Linguini that we have. Yours is like, oh mom, I hurt my sweatpants. This Linguini's like, I ride a motorcycle.
That was a pretty badass Linguini.
Right, that was delicious. It was colored with squid ink.
I know.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So mine was the eggplant rotini.
Rotini. Is that what one of the Ewoks said when it started attacking on the forest moon of Endor? It's like, Wootini!
I wish I got this reference. I've seen the movie, but yeah. I don't.
Wootini! It's when they're fighting. It's what one of the...
You didn't really like that one, though, right?
Well, I mean, if you want my list, I'll give it to you. It goes.
You have been giving me a lot of lists today. You just gave me a pasta list.
It goes Empire Strikes Back is number one. Mm-hmm. Star Wars is number two. I go Force Awakens number three. I would go Return of the Jedi number four. I would go Last Jedi number five. Go Revenge of the Jedi, number six. I would go Phantom Menace, number seven. And I would go the Clone Wars, distant eight. Distant.
Which one has Jar Jar?
Jar Jar has, Phantom Menace and Clone Wars. But I give the Phantom Menace a little bit leeway because it was, you know, it's so nice to have Star Wars back.
True.
After a 16-year absence.
I remember you made me go at midnight.
No, I don't think it was that. Oh, we have, Gennaro just came back here. We were just talking about his grandson, who also works here and shares an office with him. And he gets tips. And Gennaro was saying he gives his tips. He buys toys for poor children, which having three children, the idea yes. of my children doing anything nice for anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, Annabelle might. But
Annabelle probably should be like a toy for me, a toy for them,
right,
a toy for
right.
me, a toy for
so
them.
So you're
yes.
just talking, what an amazing thing that your grandson does.
It's important to show value and show you know the importance of giving to those in need. So Jax does work here. His job is to say thanks for coming. Jax, he'll be 6 years old in August. He insists I say that because he's, he's five and a half. He'll be six in August. So. And so his job is to say thanks for coming, he puts sugar on the cookies. And with this money and tips, we have an envelope in our office. We share an office, him and I. And so he, him and I go to a local store and we buy toys for the poor children. So he goes to the market and he goes to the register and makes sure that he tells the cashier, this is not for me, this is for poor children.
That's a classic little
I
point.
Love that. That's amazing.
But the important thing is that not only to buy those toys for the poor children, but to deliver those to a distribution center where there is food distributions, because it's important that he sees, you know, where it goes. So mm-hmm. It's important that he sees that, you know, who has more can make a difference.
Yes, that's absolutely
very
true.
Very true.
That's very nice and different than what I'm teaching my kid, which is steal everything you can and run.
Yes, yeah.
When nobody's watching.
Very true. And we're about to have a wonderful dessert.
Yeah, if you could just get, I want to get the pronunciation
yes.
right, because we're going to do our last segment of movies mm-hmm. here, and then we're going to have a
Sfogliatella.
Sfogliatella.
Okay. Yeah. So a lot of people don't know about sfogliatella.
I'm
from Naples, so a lot of people know about cannolis.
Yes.
So the cannoli,
he knows about cannolis.
Cannoli that we have here is wonderful, and we make our own cannoli cream, and we sell a lot of cannolis in the restaurant. But then we introduced the sfogliatella because somebody ordered that once, and we made some extra to sell here at the Italian market that we have. And people say, what is that? So I say, well, this is cannoli's sister. So sfogliatella is also known as the clamshell or the smaller version of the lobster tail. You know, it's flaky and it has a custard, the lemony flavored custard. And we make sfogliatella right here. So we bake them every day. several times a day. As they go, we bake more.
Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. So you'll have some spoiler tonight, so you can talk about it.
Yes. Right now, I got to finish yelling at my wife about her movie choice.
Let me leave a word and let you do your thing.
Thank you. So I want to get to Pulp Fiction, but just one last thing.
Something else.
No, I did. Just I need to understand.
Okay.
She's in a relationship with Adam Scott, right? And of course, she doesn't betray Adam Scott. She just goes out with Declan, and they're forced to kiss, right? She gets back to America.
Yes.
And the through line that they've had is Declan kept saying, and we didn't get a chance to talk about the clotter ring that you lost. I won't get into it. We don't have time, but that was heartbreaking.
I think it was stolen.
You thought it was stolen?
Yeah.
The Lucky Charms leprechaun came and took it? Is that what happened? Yeah, all right.
It pains me.
It pains me more. That was I had to get that specially made. Remember I got that specially made? Like the hands were holding an emerald? Anyhow.
Like a clotter ring, yeah.
Like a clotter ring, except it was holding an emerald. It was a special clotter ring I had commissioned for you. But no, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. That's fine. She gets back to America, and they're talking about, like, if there's a fire, what would you grab? Like, what's the important thing you would grab? And, of course, I know what I would grab. My clotter ring that my wife got me. If she had gotten one, I would always know where it was. And I would run and grab that because it would mean so much. So she gets back, and she's having a party with Adam Scott. And in the party, it's the big reveal that Adam Scott was only asked her to marry her so they could get the apartment.
Yes.
Right? Because they married couples have a better chance of getting the apartment. So when she hears that, she disappears. She pulls the fire alarm. Mm-hmm. And Adam Scott, like any normal human, goes, get the laptop, get the camera, because all of the video of us getting engaged is on there.
Oh, he didn't say that.
Yes, he did. He said the video of our engagement isn't up on Facebook yet, so I should grab the video and record it. Because it was 2010, they still had video recordings. Amy Adams is like, oh, how could I possibly be with a man who wants to save the laptop and the video camera in a fire like a normal human would versus crazy Amy Adams. Lunatic, big-eyed Amy Adams is like, I can't be with him anymore. Which is, again, my theory. It's always been my theory that women decide what they want and then work backwards from there. It's not about him being the right guy. It's about, wow, I really want to bang Declan. I got to figure out why Adam Scott's not right for me.
She's not a dude.
No. What I'm saying is, she needed, that's why she had to pretend, like, oh no, this perfectly reasonable cardiologist who wanted to grab his laptop in a fire, can't be with him. I got to be with the scuzzy Irish guy.
I think it was the higher message of the material things, not the sentimental things, and she wanted somebody that cares about the sentimental things.
So what she wanted was somebody who cared about, like, what the media was. Because if it's on a hard drive, you're not sentimental about it. But if it's on a faded piece of photograph paper, well, now you're just a beautiful, beautiful man that loves things.
Did you like the movie?
I give it a 6 out of 7. No, and then she goes, and he gets the clotter ring back, and he asks her to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
They knew each other 2 days, Christina. And when I told you that on the way up, you're like, no, it was weeks. No, it wasn't. I just watched the movie. 2 days.
Wasn't it weeks when she went back to America?
Oh, so like she thought, like, we were just sitting there for like 6 weeks going, hey, if that redheaded crazy lady ever comes back, I'm going to marry her.
I liked that movie 9 years ago, but I will admit that's if I saw it again today, I might not as much. I might see the ridiculousness of it, but I was able to suspend my disbelief and just be in the moment. I think that I got distracted by the Irish landscapes, the Irish accent, and...
Remember, we were talking about this in pornography. You're right. You don't do the equivalent of what dudes do.
No, I don't. It can't be pornography. They didn't hear us have that conversation.
But that said, the idea that Amy Adams is so overwhelming that, like, he's ready to marry her after 2 days is the equivalent of pornography when, like, two guys, or like a girl and a guy meet, and she's like, oh my God, I dropped my pencil, and then they have sex. Like, that's the level of unrealisticness of 2 days being like, oh yeah, I'm totally ready to marry this lady who flew to Ireland to come to my pub.
Yes.
Yeah, so there we go.
I'll give you that.
Leap year.
It was a little rash.
Here's my review. Leap year, better than Backdoor Slut 7. Thank you. Now, let us switch gears. And now
may I speak now?
Now that we've talked about Leap Year, the forgettable 23% on Rotten Tomatoes Amy Adam comedy. Now it's time to talk about what many considered in the top five greatest movies of all time that I let you watch for this, Pulp Fiction.
Let me watch. You've been begging me to watch Pulp Fiction since we've been together.
Yeah, well, first off, you told me a very disturbing story about your first experience with it.
Which I said I saw parts of it.
Right, because you were making out with some dude.
He was making out with me. I was a little put off by it, to tell you the truth.
So you weren't kissing him back? Is this a hashtag Me Too moment?
I didn't want to be rude.
Is this guy successful? Let's bring him down. Let's bring him down for assault.
So he, I missed a lot of the scenes.
So, hang on. I'm offended on so many levels about
okay.
this.
Okay.
He invites you out. What's this yes. guy's name? Is it Declan? If it's Declan, this relationship is over.
No.
So he invites you out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, let's go see a movie. And you're like, all right, cool. I want to go see. I like movies.
Love movies.
Now, did you have your boobs yet?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Pre-boob Christina would have just been a movie. Post-boob Christina
is
like.
Oh, yeah.
So you go out to the movie. And these are like 16-year-old boobs, right? 17, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. Those are fresh boobs.
Yeah.
So,
budding.
Yeah, I can say that because you're my wife.
Yes, you
if
can.
If it was so just a random 16-year-old, I'd be in big trouble.
You would be.
It was like, ma'am, can I talk to your daughter for a second? Boobs are fresh.
Wonderful.
So, when did he start making out with you? Do you remember?
Like, so, it's interesting you say that because I remember that beginning scene with Honey Bunny.
The Honey Bunny and who's the other one?
Then I remember someone being stabbed. Then I remember the scene at the end of the diner.
So, the guy made out with you from the end of the diner scene all the way up to Uma Thurman having the overdose and needing the needle. So you stopped and you're like, oh yeah, let's watch this part.
I took a bathroom break in there too.
Let's watch this part.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came back from the bathroom or whatever and made out until the final diner scene.
You know, it dragged on so much, I was like, well, what am I going to do? Make out with this guy or watch the movie?
You know, why don't we just call this podcast Jay Has a Small Penis? Because that would be less upsetting if we just talked about my small penis than to hear what you just said.
Would it be?
Nah. Yeah. No. I still think you should talk about it.
You know how you use a lot of air to make a point, meaning you speak a lot.
I do not. I get right to the point.
You extrapolate, you kind of dance around the point, and then you drive the point home. That's what this movie did. They did so much talking and running and moving and walking, and then
tell you what, Shakespearean. It's Shakespearean. They're painting a picture with the poetry of their words.
I went into it with an open mind. Now, like,
as opposed to in high school when you went into it with open legs.
Ew, open mouth. Come on.
Worse.
I was classy. let's get back to saying you're a small penis.
Okay.
So I will say probably because I saw Kill Bill. It wasn't like this was like, you know, mind-blowingly different than anything. Honestly, it was just so much weirdness going on.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like the Uma Thurman byline or that. I didn't like those parts.
You didn't like any of that? You didn't like Jackrabbit Slims? You didn't like the $5 shake? You didn't like the twist contest?
I liked the $5 shake.
Right.
I liked that, like, restaurant.
I thought that you were just like, ooh, I would love a vanilla shake.
Oh, my gosh. And I, you know what? Some of the dialogue, yes, I thought was very funny. You know, Zed's dead, baby.
Right.
Some of the other lines that I've heard before, I was like, oh, that's really good. But it was. I mean, oh my gosh. It danced all over the place. And honestly, I just kind of wanted it to be over.
You did. So there were aspects that you liked, the dialogue in parts, but it was too slow moving and too weird.
Like, what's that actor that came, the military guy?
The Wolf?
No.
Oh, Christopher Walken?
Christopher Walken, best friend? He comes in and he does this whole
beautiful
spiel.
Monologue.
It's not beautiful. It was funny in the end, but I would have taken it down at least 20 lines of dialogue.
But when you're dealing with dialogue like, this is the 10th wonder of Ireland, I get it. Get rid of that. You don't need it. But when you're dealing with dialogue as sparkling, I mean, you've watched a lot of movies. Does anybody write dialogue better than Quentin Tarantino? Is there anybody alive that takes a turn of phrase and makes it music, even when talking about low things?
No, I think the dialogue was beautiful. I just thought it was a little bit too much.
So like,
why? You love it because you get that. You don't want to just say, hey, we're sitting at a table. You want to talk about everything else in the room, then you want to touch the table, and then you want to describe the table, and then talk about the table.
Chris, yes. That other guy wanted to make out with your tongue. I want to make out with your brain.
Muscle.
let's not go that far. I bet you that guy's tongue was so deep it could touch your soul.
I don't really remember. I just remember being like, all right, you took me to the movies. I'm not a very strong feminist.
Yeah. I wonder how many relationships have just happened because someone was just like, I don't want to be rude.
Well, you know, you.
What?
You. After you bought me dinner.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, oh,
yeah,
I don't know.
You let me get the second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I felt bad about it, and I was like, oh. Then I, you know, you were a kisser. I liked you. I'm sorry. I don't want to get into this.
Yeah.
But.
You feel the heat of my passion.
It would have been better if someone had come up and forced us to kiss. So that would have worked out better. Because once we kissed, I kind of knew.
Well,
so I had some weird old guy come to our restaurant and yelled at us to kiss.
I do remember at that when we were kissing, you did snort some of the heroin that I had in my pocket. And remember, I had to take in get that injection of adrenaline to keep you alive.
So it's funny how you compare my movie to a porn. Because I was thinking, if the kids walked in during Leap Year, they could keep watching. If the kids walked in during Pulp Fiction or a porn, they couldn't watch either.
So here's what I'd say. Number one, they walked in on yours. I would tackle them. Run out. As if I was saving them from a fire.
Okay.
Because I would just be like, no, don't have your brain rotted. I let Keen watch Pulp Fiction. And yeah, I have no problem with that. But we talked about it on air.
Oh my gosh, but I hadn't seen Pulp Fiction at that point.
Yeah, yeah, you were. I mean, it was a bad parenting
decision.
There
was bits of brain in the man's hair.
Yes, but you know what? Keen took that brain, put it in his brain, and doubled the size of his brain. A genius is always allowed. And I have no problem exposing my children to genius, because this is a bit... What I love about this movie, I'll tell you what I love about it. This is... postmodernism is something that oftentimes is pretentious, right? And you know me about pretentious films. I think that anybody that writes poetry or makes a movie that's about it's about the two cowboys that eat butterscotch from the top of a roof for like an hour. And you're like, oh, okay, what does it mean? Now, that's the thing. You got to figure it out yourself. You're like, oh, all right. Anything like that, MFAs, you know my feeling on MFAs, honey. Master of Fine Arts English, mm-hmm. Get out of here. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to you. You just, it's a long circle jerk. Not even a good one. It's just people just...
Is there a bad one?
Well, yeah, MFA one. A good one would be like in the basement of a frat house. Right? I've been to several. No, not several. Two. I've been to two. I give me none. Don't worry.
Okay.
What he managed to accomplish there was to take postmodernism and marry it to a structure and a genre. He took genre film and connected it to postmodernism and created a work of art that was accessible. That's amazing. It's so difficult to do.
I liked Samuel Jackson. I like that he got basically a happy ending.
Huh?
What?
Happy ending?
Oh my gosh.
Did I miss that part of the movie?
And I liked that, Bruce Willis, I don't know, he was kind of not a great guy, but he had that redeeming thing. I'm always looking for character, change.
Right.
And it was just bam, 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 bam of just confusion. It almost felt like cacophony.
Right.
And, at one point I'm seeing a lady get stabbed in the chest, someone else getting anally raped.
Yeah, I would say raped. I don't think he was consenting. I don't think there was any part. Actually, do you think if Marcellus is alive right now, he's writing a hashtag MeToo moment on Twitter? Let me tell you about the time I was in the basement of a pawn shop.
Can I say it was, I saw why you liked it. I saw the beautiful moments or screenplay or dialogue that were in it. I would never watch it again.
I've seen that movie 40 times, 50 times. And we were driving up because you did not finish it on the schedule, so you're watching it on the iPad as you're driving up. And how many times did I almost get into an accident because I was
looking over? I actually enjoyed it the most because you were in the car and you were saying lines before they happened, and I thought that was very It's cute. You're like a little kid, like, you said, and oh, look, it's coming up. It's coming up.
Whose motorcycle is this? Not a motorcycle, it's a chopper. Whose chopper is this? Zed. Who's Zed? Zed's dead, baby.
That was
Zed's
my drive dead. Up.
Yep. Now that you know the movie, I can talk to you in nothing but Pulp Fiction quotes.
This is the thing. You went to watch Roma, and I watched Roma with you. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, I got it. I was like, wow. Yeah. You need to watch this. It's amazing. I would not go to my friends and say, whoa, you got to watch Pulp Fiction. I wouldn't.
Well, that's because they've probably all seen it because they understand it's a seminal work of art.
I was talking to some friends today, and they said, what are you watching? I said, Pulp Fiction. And they had to look it up on IMDb.
Oh, my God. What is with your generation of women? You need to, Chris, you need, listen, the millennials have hashtag me too. You need to have hashtag watch Pulp Fiction. This needs to be your moment. This needs to be something that needs to be addressed. Every woman everywhere should be forced to watch Pulp Fiction 10 times.
What are women from?
What are they, don't go to pawn shops that you've not done the research on. Number one, okay. I would say that's high on the list.
Don't snort heroin.
Number two, check to make sure if you find a bag of drugs in a stranger's jacket, ask, hey, is this heroin or cocaine? Because if it's heroin, I'm not going to snort it. I think that's two.
Okay.
And three, if you're going to marry a drug kingpin like Marcelo Boss, and he's going out of town, maybe don't go out with one of his underlings. You don't need to have a good time. You need to stay home and watch TV.
Oh, okay, yeah. Hashtag watch Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, I think that's, it's, I mean, you're denying people the right to see art.
I'm not denying anything. I'm just not recommending it.
You say you wouldn't recommend this to anybody?
I think it is a more guy-centric movie. I think I liked the diner scene at the end. I liked.
Right.
Obviously, there's elements of it that I liked. But as a whole, I think kind of fell flat for me.
Okay. So I think this is a good place to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember what it was called, the dessert we're having?
Stracciatella.
No, that's actually a disease. That's what killed my uncle.
So,
the stracciatella. He had a bad case of stracciatella.
No, come on, you practice it.
Hashtag save stracciatella victims. No,
spoy-tella.
Well, we're going to find out. I think that we'll probably do one last check back in to give the address again after we've had dessert. Mm-hmm. So let's do final verdicts here. Leap year, I give it out of 10, 3.5. 3.5 out of 10. What do you give Leap Year out of 10?
What do I give it out of 10? For the time I saw it, I'd probably give it a solid 7.
7, okay. Now, Pulp Fiction, your score out of 10?
Your score?
10.
You give it a 10 out of 10.
I give it 10 out of 10. If I could go 11 out of 10, I put it in one of the top 10 moments that movie history changed. November of 1994, when Pulp Fiction comes out.
I will actually, this will make you very happy, I will give it a 6.
That's higher than I was imagining.
You know why? Because I do love good dialogue.
Right.
But.
That's why you like my movies. Filled with Tarantino-esque dialogue.
Filled. and I think the acting was amazing.
Yeah, John Travolta. I will was say, fantastic. Yes.
So I can appreciate all those elements. A little bit too much feet in it, though.
Yeah, well, Quentin Tarantino is a noted foot fetish.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. I'll give it a 6.
By the way, you know what the greatest moment of incorporating your fetish into a screenplay has ever been? Is he wrote the screenplay for From Dusk Till Dawn, and Robert Rodriguez, his friend, directed it, and he played one of the Gecko brothers, and in his scene, Salma Hayek comes out in a string bikini holding a python and sticks her foot in Quentin Tarantino's mouth for like a minute. I wonder, looking back on that, does that count as like a Me Too moment?
Oh my gosh.
Because like, in the moment, she was probably thinking, oh, I'm so sorry I have to do this. And he's like, well, it's in the script.
I'm pretty sure he said, if you want this part,
oh, you think
that's what's going to be in my mouth.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they came barefoot to the audition.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, if you have a fetish, I mean, that's the way to use it, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, here comes Gennaro back. We're going to have our dessert now. We have our two movie opinions, one correct mine, one incorrect yours. And we'll be back next month. Well, we'll come back and talk about the dessert after we've had it. And then we'll say goodbye. We'll give the number
out one more time. Can I give you a spoiler alert for your next movie?
Yes.
More accents are coming.
Uh-oh. What is it? What is this called? Shirtless Ireland Hunk Calendar 1998?
Ah, darn it. I got to change it.
It's the video hunk calendar. You know, Playboy used to do video calendars. back in the day, where it was it would go through the months, and it was just the playmate of the month. Just
no, because I'm not a boy.
Just walking around naked.
Mm-hmm. And what's fine? Do you know yet?
What's that?
What do you have me watch?
I don't know. I'm thinking, you don't like slow movies, so I'm thinking 2001 A Space Odyssey, which is a noted movie of having nothing happen at all.
Oh, that would be evil.
No, I don't think I'll torture you like that. I'm thinking like maybe, I mean, how are you on like classic 80s B movies?
Oh, yeah.
Like, did you ever see Big Trouble in Little China?
Nope.
Oh, we're doing Big Trouble in Little China. So here's your assignment for next week, folks, if you wanna play along with us. Chris, you're going to do Notting Hill, right?
I believe I'm going to do Notting Hill.
So I'm going to be forced to watch Notting Hill because my wife is a sadist, and I am going to give my wife what I think is the best John Carpenter-Kurt Russell collaboration ever. And that's saying something when you consider Escape from New York and the Elvis story is in that list.
So I'll be a girl standing in front of a guy.
Right.
Asking to watch an 80s movie.
And I'll be a trucker standing in front of a giant beholder monster asking Lau to get his green-eyed bride back.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll see you next time, folks. Like I said, we'll do one little coda when we come back, but I hope you enjoyed dinner and a movie, and we're going to be doing a bunch more of these, one every month, and we're so glad that we had you.
We have a couple new sponsors in 2018. Rob Dukansky of RE/MAX First Advantage. You can reach him at 855-350-1015 or online at robsellsnj.com. True story, Rob sold my house in 3 days. I spent a lot of time in real estate. I'm a licensed broker in a few states, and I can tell you, Rob Dukansky is the best. We're happy to have him on board, Speaking Millennial. Our other big sponsor for 2018, CSI Group. The CSI Group, you can reach them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS or CSICPA.com. This is a family business, but they've got locations all over New York and New Jersey. And I'm going to tell you, taxes are too complicated to go it alone. Don't think that you're going to go online and just plug and play and get it done. You don't want to have a letter from the IRS a couple years after you file your taxes and find out you made a big mistake. And the CSI Group will give you a free consultation. So all you got to do is call them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS and they will help you out. Remember, you don't know what you don't know. I'm happy to talk about one of our sponsors, great sponsor, good friend, Vinny Brand, owns the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. The website is stressfactory.com. Vinny Brand runs one of the great comedy clubs, honestly, in the country. Not only does he have A-list comics coming in almost every single week, but the show is great. The food is fantastic. The staff, the service, there's parking right next door. If you've not discovered the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, you've got to get there. Go to stressfactory.com and buy your tickets. It's a great night out, reasonable cost, absolutely hilarious entertainment, great food and hospitality. Stressfactory.com.
Looking for a car, new or used? This is Jay Black to tell you there's no better destination than our friends at the Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, located on Route 202 and 31 in Flemington and at Flemington.com. Here you will find 16 automotive brands, plus over 500 available certified pre-owned vehicles to fit every budget. You'll get the financing, the trade-in value, and the credit you need, and dependable vehicle service maintenance that delivers peace of mind. Choose from Ford, Lincoln, Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Infiniti, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, BMW, and Subaru. Shop them all, knowing every Flemington Car and Truck Country location has earned the coveted dealer-rated customer satisfaction award for 2017 based on your reviews. The Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, an honest, straightforward organization that has been satisfying customers for over 40 years. Family, independent, not corporate. Visit any of their 8 dealership locations on routes 202 and 31 in Flemington or at Flemington.com. There's a lot of really cool stuff about our new sponsor, Tito's Handmade Vodka. And I could tell you about all of it. I could tell you how great it tastes. I could tell you how it's the best way to relax after a hard day. I could tell you that it's distilled from corn, so it's gluten-free. I could tell you that it's made right here in America, in Texas. And not just Texas, the best part of Texas, Austin. It's the best part of Texas. I tell you the thing I love most about Tito's Handmade Vodka. They use old-fashioned pot stills, and they taste test every batch. It's the same way that they make fine single malt scotches and high-end French cognac. Why is this amazing? Well, it's amazing because, as John F. Kennedy said, we don't go to the moon because it's easy. We go to the moon because it's hard. And this is a harder way to make vodka, but it makes for better vodka. That's why it's handmade vodka, and that's why you got to go out and get Tito's Handmade Vodka right now.
All right, we are back from dessert.
Wow.
We're going to have pictures on the website mm-hmm. of all the food that...
They need to see it.
Yes. It's... I had a cappuccino. You had an incorrect cappuccino. Because yours is decaf.
You don't want to deal with me when I've been up all night.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Although maybe it could work out for me if you're mm-hmm. up all night.
Can I just say that beside the food being mind-blowing, Gennaro...
Gennaro is amazing.
Right?
You, guys... And he's not here, so we're not... He was just telling a story after story. And by the way, listening to a story in an Italian accent, I kind of get where you're coming from. And I was like, well, I want to kiss Gennaro.
You had that look in your eyes.
No, he was amazing. He was just telling us all these beautiful stories about the charity work that he mm-hmm. does and the different people that he's gotten to meet. And he told a story about his mother's washboard that his dad made for her. It's amazing.
I think he literally wants to feed the whole world.
Yeah. And you know what? If this is the food, I got to say, I mean, you're with me on this. Italian number one food in the world.
Number one. Number one people, number one food.
I think the Irish, you know, Irish and Italian, and the Lithuanians, and the Denmarkians.
You're just saying all the people are your descendants.
Yeah. So I think it goes. I think it's a four-way tie between Italy, mm-hmm. Ireland, Denmark, mm-hmm. and Lithuania.
Hey, Jay, what do you happen to be?
Oh, thank you for asking. I am Italian. Uh-huh. I am Irish. Uh-huh. I am Lithuanian. Uh-huh. And I am Danish. And I'm, I think, a little Cherokee. No, I'm not. That's just what people always say. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Every dumb girl that I've ever met in college. Oh, you know, I'm a little Native American. You're like, no, you're not. I mean, maybe you are, but even if you are, I'm sure you're disowned by whatever wolf clan that you claim to come from.
Let me get back to the food.
Oh, yeah. So, Italian food, I say, number one in the world.
Number one.
I mean, nothing's better than Italian food.
If you want good Italian food, you need to come here.
Right. Hang on. I'm just trying to do my rankings of food. So,
I'm going to have more cappuccino.
Two, I would say, Americanized Chinese food.
Mm.
Like, not the actual Chinese food where you're eating, like, robin's heads or whatever. Like, you know, whatever. I'm sure they eat, like, you know, this is, you know, 15 toads and, you know, like...
Deer jerky's like Americanized food.
No, but like
American food.
No, like Americanized
hot dog hamburgers.
No, Americanized Chinese.
What you're talking about?
Like General Tso was not an actual general in China. It was invented. Excuse me. It was invented like 100 years ago.
Okay,
by like
so. Number one.
Number one, Italian. Mm-hmm. Number two, Americanized Chinese. Uh-huh. Number three, classic Americano.
Okay.
Number four. Mexican.
Okay. American?
Yeah, I'm not talking
Persian.
Actually.
Okay,
like,
okay.
Wait, Taco Bell.
You need to clarify. Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Listen, Taco Bell gets a bad rap.
For a good reason.
No. Taco Bell is A-okay by me. Number five. Hmm. You're checking your watch.
Yes, I am.
All right. I will finish my ranking of the top 10 foods in the world. Maybe Japanese? Sushi? Yes. Japanese.
Okay.
Sushi. Number six... No, I'm only joking. Okay. I'm not going to go any further. We just had an amazing dessert. We had an amazing conversation. We are at Casa Gennaro. You can come at 4585 Route 27, Kingston, New Jersey, 08528. Or you can call 609-683-1212. I think you should call. Ask for Gennaro.
Just to ask to speak to him.
And just say, hey, could you tell me, like, one story?
Or just tell me what I should eat.
Yes. Well, that's the
in
thing. He told us.
And you'll come in.
Since there's only like 11 tables here, mm-hmm. if you come in, like, he, what did he say? He said,
you can just kind of tell me what you want to eat and I'll make it.
He thinks of himself as a tailor and he tries to, like, make the food right for you. So I had something I would have never tried, which mm-hmm. is linguine black, the best kind of linguine. Little thicker and longer than white what am I saying? Linguini.
Let me just say that I like that he's got a market here, because if you're an Italian who maybe can't cook as well as Italian women.
There's no, every Italian woman I've ever heard is a wonderful cook that takes care of her man with tons of food.
So you can come in and you can get stuff to go for dinner, for lunch.
Yeah.
I want to take half of the frozen food section over there.
Yeah, this was, honestly, I got to say, one of the better meals I've ever had in my entire life. And it was just dinner on a Friday night. So if you just want to have that experience, if you want to feel like you're eating something amazing, come on out. And we will be back next week with two new movies, Notting Hill, and Big Trouble in Little China. Ugh. Yeah, baby. Chris, did you have fun?
I had a great time. Right, great
that's
meal,
my co-host, Christina Black. You can follow her on no social media. My name is Jay Black. You can follow me on zero social media. Come to www.worldfoodrankings.com and I'll have all 190 countries ranked out.
All right.
You guys are awesome. Talk to you guys later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.